It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. It's even better because 30 minutes of Brian Belaga and Jason Wilde. I wish to thank Magic Johnson for solving a problem. Brian Belaga, good afternoon. Do you know the problem that Magic Johnson solved?
I don't. What problem did Magic solve?
There, whatever the discussion was about a superstar, he said, a person who can go on the road and sell the building out, that is a superstar. That's it. I don't know why no one ever said it before. I don't know why, I can't say. That's it. That's how you determine if you're a superstar. That people, other places, the greatest example of that in my lifetime will be Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know who else is on that list, but you knew it as a player, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for football, it's a little bit different.
Yes, it is. Of course, there are a ton more players.
Yeah, there's a lot more players, but you look at it from a, I guess you look at it from a different standpoint, right? When you go to play bad teams and teams in losing cities, right? Like you go play, when we were playing, obviously Detroit wasn't that good at the time. Detroit was sold out, right? When we would go play Detroit, that was an Aaron Rodgers pull, right? And maybe it was a Packers pull altogether, right? Because, Packers fans traveled or... when we would go say out east or out west, and we played teams that weren't as good, stadium was full, right? And that had to do a lot with, obviously, I think people wanting to see the team in general, but it didn't hurt that you had, I think, in my opinion, a superstar in Aaron.
No, you explained it perfectly. There are other factors. There are the team. There are the team's fans, right? To Packer and how great. In sports, do the fans follow their team? But again, you still have that factor that exists, which is the greatest tribute.
Yes.
That people that want to go see an opposing team's player coming and selling out at home, that's not the same.
Nope. I don't think so. Like let's look at it. Let's look at it today, right? And like, I'll try to.
Well, Tom Brady would have been a player. I don't know how many. We aren't. Then we can decide how big a superstar. But when the New England and Tampa Bay were on the road, there were some people that went to the game to watch Tom Brady play, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about this? How about just when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay didn't sell out their stadium. Tom Brady became a Buck, and that place was sold out in 10 minutes.
Correct. Yes. And again, it says go on the road, but that's based on the premise of their being there at home. Yes, if you can go at home and get people to go. Like, Caitlin Clark is the reason I thought of it. Like, Clark is as big a superstar as there's ever going to be because she's the only one. Like, if you're the only one and, like, attendance is down, like, 50%. Well, I just want to tell you, I'm that person. I never watched an WNB game until she played. And since she's been hurt, guess how many I've watched?
None.
I don't believe. I mean, maybe in the Agumbawale, who is from Milwaukee. I may have watched her in a couple playoffs or something like that. But, and I thought, that's exactly it. And so it's not only Magic Johnson said we can go on the road, but TV ratings would be another way.
Absolutely. I mean, you I mean, I would love to see the WNBA's ratings right now with
her being out. They're so far down, it's unbelievable. They're down 50% since she got hurt.
Oof. I mean, and I don't know, how long are they saying she's out
for? I think
how
she might be back really soon. It's not very long at all.
Okay.
I hope this will show the other players in the league how grateful they should be for her.
I know. But, I mean, the punishment that the league's taking.
There it is. Like, when people watch you or people go see you. And so the definition of the players, all the players on Oklahoma City and Indiana, they're not superstars.
I don't think yet.
Yes. And now people aren't going. Now, I think when one of these teams wins a championship, then it changes, right?
Yeah.
Then when that team shows up, you think more like, whichever team wins, one of the stars is going to elevate because
correct.
Of it, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So someone's going to be created. A star is going to be born out of that, right?
And, like, and has just earned it. Earned it.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Someone's going to be rise out of that as a star, right? And it's probably going to be who gets named the MVP final or the finals MVP, right? And that's going to be well earned, most likely. So there's no doubt about that. And you know, I think this series for the two teams that are in there, that's what kind of makes this series exciting, like, to me, right? Like, there are two teams. I mean, obviously, OKC with the point guard, he's an unbelievable player.
But if the Pacers win, he's taking second fiddle. MVP will mean nothing. It'll go to Halliburton, because assuming he continues to make a big role, it could go to his teammate too. But to be the MVP in the finals has always meant more than the MVP of the league. Go ahead.
I would almost say that, like, if he doesn't win the whole thing, I mean, you would almost kind of look at, I mean, the season MVP is like you said, like, what does it mean then?
No,
right?
You know,
I mean,
what he becomes? You know what he becomes if he doesn't win? Steve Nash.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, Nash, I think, doesn't he have two MVPs? Did he go back to back where he won two? Like, there's not anybody who watched the NBA who didn't want to respect him. They did. But MVP, nobody ever. Five people in the world didn't go to a game to watch Steve Nash play when they came into town. Unless someone can prove me wrong if they want. Yeah.
Wasn't the reason. For sure was not the reason. It's definitely not the reason. But I mean, most likely, I mean, for me, it would be to go see Nowitzki, right? Like, I'd rather go see Dirk. I mean, that'd be the guy that I'd want to go see play. On that team.
I mean, the closest thing now, again, you can defer to, the closest thing now would be Giannis. Giannis might be. People go see Giannis on the road, or people go see Jokic or Doncic.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Jokic. I mean, I think that would be the guy that gets a lot of pull, because I think people are kind of in awe of him, right? Like, you look at him as a player, and obviously Giannis too. I mean, he's a freak show. You look at him, like, the way the guy moves. But Jokic as well. Like, a guy like that's not supposed to move like that, shoot like that, and create the way he does. So people are in awe of that, right? And I think that kind of puts, you know, butts in the seats. People want to see that. And that's exactly what you said. That's superstar type, you know, level. That's status right there. And that, to me, is exactly what you've been saying.
Well, like, I stole it from Magic Johnson, but I think he's end all the discussion. It's all you got to do. How many people are coming to see him? That tells you who people see as a superstar. And I thought of the most disappointing superstar, and he clearly isn't one, is Mike Trout, the baseball player.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but you can't tell people someone's a superstar.
No,
So, and he's had these incredible stats for years and years and years, and I have never spent one second of one day thinking, when's he going to be near Milwaukee, or when's he?
Yeah.
He's the definition of a great player who is not a superstar, and I'm not sure he's even close. I would say, well, I said it at the time because he's Babe Ruth. the Japanese pitcher.
Shohei Ohtani?
Shohei Ohtani. Sure. I think people, and again, it differs when you're talking about L.A. If Japanese people are coming, that's one thing. But I think he draws bigger crowds. Someone will have to look it up. That I would say he's a superstar.
Oh, yeah, he draws magic. Crowds. Yeah, he draws crowds. And then I think he's, and I would even say when he's actually healthy and he's able to pitch, he draws even bigger
more.
Crowds.
Yes. Yeah.
Like he's, I mean, that's even a bigger show. So like, yeah, he's one. And like, that's the thing, like Mike Trout, you know, for all the numbers he puts up and the home runs he hits, it just isn't, it's not there. The guy from the Yankees is a, like, you know what
Aaron
I'm saying?
Judge has passed him already. It yeah. probably doesn't know. Yes, Aaron Judge, and is it the benefit of being a Yankee? Maybe, but it doesn't matter because Magic has set the standard. If they turn on the TV to see you play, they watch you on the road. When you're on the road, they want to come see you. It's just easy, and we can factor in each sport being a little bit different. You know, like you said, you can be other reasons fans go because of teams or whatever, but that's the best way to judge it. You judge it by fans' actions.
A perfect example, I mean, and this is, I mean, this fits exactly into it. When, I mean, I wasn't, still not a huge basketball fan, but when I was with the Packers, the Lakers came to town. I wanted to see Kobe. I went to, I went to watch the Bucks play the Lakers. I wanted to see Kobe. And that was why, right? Like, I mean, as a young kid growing up in Chicago, my dad would take me to Bulls games. I got to see Jordan play.
Did you ever want to see Shaq to the same degree as Kobe? I'll bet not.
No, not to the same degree. I mean, listen, seeing Shaq, I mean, obviously amazing, you know, a phenomenal player. And,
but Kobe was a bigger superstar. You proved it, and all the numbers would prove it, right?
But like, you look at these things, like you got this. I got to see Jordan as a young kid. Obviously, I was really young. You didn't get to appreciate it as much. So then you get older, and here comes a guy that you're like, okay, this is like, you know, about maybe as close as it's going to get again. I got to see him when he's where I can go see him and I can get courtside to see him. And like, that's what I did. Like, and it was awesome. Like,
and I will say really this, it'll irritate Milwaukee fans, but Hank Aaron was never a superstar when he played. The superstars were Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays. People, anywhere they went, packed a place. Hank Aaron didn't pack a place. Now, maybe later on he did, maybe when he was Atlanta and had home runs. And that's why Magic is so good. It's not subjective anymore. It's objective.
Mm-hmm.
People tell fans, tell players whether you're a superstar or not.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I agree.
Well, no, and I know this from the Packers because people aren't old enough to know, but there was only one superstar in Vince Lombardi's Packers, and it was Paul Hornung. Nobody else was even close. Nobody's even in close to his league, given the image he had created by being the Golden Boy, being at Notre Dame, being the Heisman Trophy winner. But that doesn't mean he was the best player. And I think now, like in the NFL, I don't know. Mahomes.
I would say Mahomes is a superstar. I think people want to go see him play, and I think it's
Lamar Jackson.
He's again. He's fun to watch. I think he's one of those talents that is a unique talent that he puts on a show. Unfortunately, like you, it's different now that like. You don't go to watch defensive players anymore, right? Like you would go watch a Reggie White. You would want to see Reggie White play. It's totally different now, right? Like, cause it's such an offensive league.
Well, who's the guy with the Rams who retired?
Aaron Donald. Yeah. Superstar.
He was the closest.
Yes, probably the closest. Probably the closest guy that you'd want to watch.
And no way, I bet, there was anything close.
No. I mean... And again, we're not saying that there's not absolute studs, that we're not calling Hall of Fame players, but we're talking about that fill stadiums, that people want to go to stadiums and see. Like, that's what we're saying. But you NFL is just so much different than these other sports, right? Like, it is a different dynamic because of, you know, the team aspect of it. And obviously going on the road for, you know, you look at, I always relate it back to the Packers and how well they traveled to away games.
But
they
Aaron Rodgers and maybe even I would say to a greater degree, Brett Favre did that. They drew crowds on the road in addition to the great loyal Packer fans.
Yes, they did it no matter what. Like I had buddies that were Bears fans that wanted to come up to Packers games just to see Aaron play. So, like, it didn't matter if it was at, I mean, it was in Lambeau Field, but they were obviously Bears fans. They just wanted to come watch. I mean, they were friends of mine. They would say they wanted to see me play, but it was really just see Aaron play because they wanted to see him, right? Because you get to see a Hall of Famer in the flesh and a superstar. That's what it's about, right? Like, you only get to see these guys come around so often that you have to go do it. And that's kind of what Magic's saying, and like that's what you're saying, and it makes total sense.
Right, he's just right. That's how, you know, if someone can draw a crowd on the road, they're a superstar. Jason Wilde, next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde and the Dr. Brian Bulaga talking Packer football. It's as good as it gets, and it's led by the doctor because he is so nice. Brian Bulaga, take it away.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm irritated with the crazy old man. He's nice, too, so let's not pretend that Brian's the only one who's nice. You just don't want to waste any time asking how I'm doing. I'm doing fine. I have a question, though. Brian Bulaga, with all that NFL money you made and now all that Good Karma Brands money you're raking in, do you mow your own lawn?
Of course he does.
You're a good man.
Yeah.
If I had your money, I would.
Well, no, the question is, why doesn't he have his kids mow the lawn? That's what I want to know.
No, so Maddie's asking to mow the lawn, too, and I just, you know, I just don't. She's got such a bright future. If I cut my finger off doing something stupid, you know, I've had a good run with those fingers.
Well, Brian had that weird look at me like when I said, why don't you kids mow the lawn?
He's not ready yet. He's not ready yet.
That's a smart dad right there.
He's not ready yet. I know he's not ready yet.
Just out of curiosity, how old is he?
He just turned 10.
And you have special football plays that you give this team that he's on, right?
That's on a wristband, though. That's direction. I mean, you see that, you know.
I'm not going to waste time arguing with you because you're not going to change. I learned that about a college degree. Take it away, nice guy.
Oh, wow. Look at, again, subtle jabs. I mean, that's just amazing. All right, Jason. So when we talked on your show, you told me about the left tackle situation. Did it repeat itself the following practice that you went down to? Did that stay the same way?
This was barely a practice. I mean, it really was. I mean, and then McManus kicked a 58-yard field goal. So then they ended practice early. Like, it was, you know, for a team and for a coach who was talking about how, you know, the off-season had been, you know, basically condensed because they had the week virtually because of the draft, and then they're – they let him go early because of the quick turnaround for training camp. And, of course, the rules that are in place for the off-season program, thanks to the, you know, Jeff Saturdays of the world, I don't know how super productive it was. But, you know, Sheed was not practicing. I think they were just being smart with him. But the fact of the matter is that competition, as you astutely put it, that starts in training camp. And anything that they were doing, I mean, again, Donovan Jennings worked with the starters again, this time at center for a period of time. Kadeem Telfort took the left guard reps. Like, it was a whole thing. So, again, this is why, as both you and Tausch made very clear, this is why we're not putting a whole lot of stock in what goes on in June in today's NFL.
Yep. Well, I get you on that. So So essentially what you're saying is, so are they done with the mini camp? Is the mini camp over?
It's over. Dunzo.
Okay.
You know, they had another half hour to go, which would have been nice since they moved it up a half hour, and then I had to get there late because, you know, the wildly popular Wilde and Tausch program. So I didn't even get to see a whole heck of a lot, which kind of stuff. It ended before the show ended. Practice ended at 11:30. Show was still going on. Crazy.
No. Wow. So essentially this was a mini camp that was essentially kind of a slower paced OTA. Like it was like an OTA, slow paced OTA.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. And so, you know, one of the questions I asked LaFleur yesterday was, you know, how much do you find out given the constraints about Jacob Munk? Right? Because that's, you know, obviously a guy that took the lion's share of all the center snaps. I mean, except when Donovan Jennings. I still can't believe LaFleur yesterday, by the way, when somebody asked him about Donovan Jennings getting guard reps with the first team and him admitting he didn't realize that that had happened.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Donovan, you got some work to do to make an impression on the head coach. But, there are a couple of things that I think, before I ramble away the segment, we need to touch on. One, Mecole Hardman had two big-time touchdown catches. One was an unbelievable, majestic 70-plus yard throw from Jordan Love to end yesterday's practice. The day before, it was a absolute prayer heave into traffic from about 30 yards out from Sean Clifford that he elevated and grabbed with one hand. Again, they're in shorts and helmets. Nobody's tackling. I'm guessing in a real NFL game, he would have been crunched and he would have had a hard time holding on to the football. But the bottom line is that he made impressions. And if you think about what they have at wide receiver now, and if we think maybe Watson is going to be back sooner rather than later, you know, sooner than November like TJ Hockenson was with the same timeline, you're talking about Watson, Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Melton, Heath, Golden, Savion Williams, and Mecole Hardman. That is nine guys at the wide receiver position that you could argue all deserve a spot on a roster.
And your order,
not all
please.
Nine will be on this roster. Well, no. I mean, look, I'm a, you know, you and I went round and round yesterday about Bo Melton. I will bet you breakfast at Ted's and the purchase of one goat for what's the help for hands, helping hands for Haiti? What's it called?
Help for health, help in Haiti, whatever. Help for health, and I can't even remember it, but it's goats.
All right. I'm going to get a goat either way. So,
I'm not going to bet you. You're going to say he's on the team.
I am going to say.
All right,
he's
no,
on
we're going to bet on whether or not he'll ever play one down at cornerback, which means this whole thing
was
made up.
We're not
crap.
Betting because it was certainly some good misdirection. But anyway, Brian, my point is that not all those guys.
Friends
are
for health
team.
In Haiti, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I mean, obviously, we know that Watson's going to start the season on PUP, right? Like, I mean, obviously that's going to, right? Or
so,
no? Am I wrong on that?
Well, so I think you're right, but, and let me get the quote here, because I asked LaFleur about that. I also asked him about Elton. Like, there were interviews going on at the same time, so it was kind of a skeleton crew in the press conference, which helps me, not because my questions are so long, but because there's not as many people to beat to the punch, and I'm not very good at that. But I asked him about Elton. I asked him a couple of other things. Really good answer, by the way, at the end of the press conference. I think he knows he believes in his heart he's got a really good team and didn't want to come out and say it's Super Bowl capable, but be that as it may. I asked him specifically if it was hard for him to not get his hopes up based on what he's seen from Watson. And because, look, I will admit that I said that it was going to be the timeline like Hockenson. Like, you don't want to jeopardize the guy's career by bringing him back too fast, but he looks phenomenal. Now, he's not cutting, but he's running at more than what would appear to be half speed on his own in a straight line. He's doing a lot of the stretching and other stuff that they do as a team at the beginning. I mean, he looks, for being 5.5 months out from surgery, he looks pretty good. So yeah. I'm willing to acknowledge that I might be wrong. I still think late October, early November is more realistic. But I asked LaFleur, are you allowing yourself to get your hopes up that he could be back earlier than you originally expected? And he said, probably not, to be honest. It is what it is. The guys that are available, that's who you coach. I said, yeah, but come on. Like, he looks really good. And he said, it is exciting to see how far along he is. He's been doing a great job. He attacks it the right way. He will give us a boost whenever that is, whenever he comes back. I expect him to give us a boost. So you're probably right. I don't think he's going to be back, like, for the opener. But if he starts on PUP, you're talking 4 or 5 weeks into the season. Maybe he's ready after the bye week, and they've got that early bye, so maybe he's ready in October sometime.
I'm just trying to, you know, we talked 9 receivers, right? Like, and I'm just putting this in my head, and then we put him on PUP. Now we're down to 8. So now we're looking at this thing with 8 guys that we have to figure out, right? Like, I mean, we're obviously we got Golden and the third round pick. They're not going anywhere. Obviously, we know
right.
that. So there's two off the board. We know Wicks and Reed are not going anywhere. So there's 2 more off the board. So there's 4. So
Watson's not going off the board.
Yeah. So
right, but if he's not available to start the season, Brian and I aren't counting him for the opening part of the year.
Okay.
For the
year.
That's why.
Okay. So there's 4. So now we're left with Dobbs. We're left with Melton. We're left with Hardman, and we're left with who's the last one?
I think, look, the challenge, there's a couple things, right? I mean, and you know this as well as anybody because it happened to you on family night in 2013. Sometimes really rotten luck makes these decisions for you, right?
Yep.
Like, sometimes a guy gets hurt, suffers a major injury, and then you don't have to figure out, oh, do we need to trade Romeo Dobbs to the Steelers because they need wide receiver help? Or whatever it might be. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I still think, even though Hardman made those plays, I think you look at his track record, Homer's brought it up, he's caught only a handful of balls the last couple of years. I think he's probably the one who's fighting the biggest uphill battle. They have kept 7 before. That's not out of the realm of possibility, but then obviously you got to short yourself somewhere else. The question I have is, did Kadeem Telfort and Travis Glover play themselves out of the mix for a roster spot? And again, they're going to have the chance in training camp to reverse that. But the way they both played when Elton went out in Philly, that left a mark, like getting hit by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from the Miz. So, or 103, I guess he throws. But I don't know. Like, those guys will have practice squad eligibility. They could bring them back that way and stash some extra offensive linemen there. But if you go heavy on wide receiver, obviously it means you have to go lighter somewhere else.
Yep. And then, so what's, I mean, I heard you guys making a, you know, reference of Melton at corner. What do you think about that? What's the questions that you guys are asking about that? What's the reality of that?
I will bet you 5 goats that he does not play a single down in the regular season as a defensive back.
Or what's Matt saying about it?
So Matt actually approached him with this back in 2023 when he was on the practice squad. That was before he had the big game in Minnesota. It was before he had the touchdown catch in the playoffs in San Francisco. I mean, and look, he is on a team that does not have many clear-cut special teams core players anymore, right? They let They let Corey Ballantyne go. They let Robert Rochelle go. They let Eric Wilson go, who was such a key piece of that unit. You know, they brought back Christian Welch, who's another one of you Iowa guys. So he's a pretty great guy, but there's that one drawback that he went to Iowa. The fact of the matter is that Bo Melton's a really important piece for that group. So I think he is on this team regardless without playing a snap at corner. But I also think that, you know, he played it in high school. He started out there in college at Rutgers, and then they saw that he could catch the ball better.
But didn't his brother laugh at this whole concept when somebody asked him?
His brother was pissed that he didn't tell him. And there's even some profanities exchanged that when Bo was retelling the story. Because, look, he's like, there is a skill set there. Now, do I think that it's typical for a player who is now in his third full NFL season to be going out there and switching the corner or playing both ways in a game? No. Did Bo say very clearly that he is not Travis Hunter? He didn't win a Heisman at Rutgers? Yes. But if there is a guy on their team that in a pinch could do it, I'm telling you, talking to the defensive backs and ones that I actually trust and aren't just going to say things just to say them, they all admitted they were surprised at how good he looked. So, no, do you want him out there on opening day against Amon-Ra St. Brown? No, you do not. But look at what they have at the position. Like, it's Nixon, it's Carrington Ballantyne, and it's Nate Hobbs. After that, it's Gregory Jr., who played 111 defensive snaps over 2 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are the only regular season or postseason NFL snaps on defense played by any other corner on the roster. So if you compare Bo not to the three guys that are your top three, but if you compare him to those other guys, he ain't that far off. He's at least played in a lot of NFL games.
But isn't that kind of where we have the problem? You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that kind of an issue? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
look,
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I don't know.
No, you're being,
looking at it a certain way.
No, you're being totally fair, Brian. And look, I'm part of it because you know this, having known me for a really long time. I love a good story. And whether it's, you know, you telling stories about your dad or it's, you know, Rogers telling the great story about him getting that letter from, was it Purdue? Good luck at your attempt at a college football career. Or it's a guy switching positions in minicamp. That is, you're the fisherman. Is that chum in the water? Is that what we would call that for me? I was part of it. I wrote about it twice. I wrote about it on Tuesday when he did it, and then I wrote about it Wednesday when he talked about it. So, but it was, as Homer and I debated last night, it certainly took the focus off of, man, your depth sucked. If you're converting or at least having a wide receiver moonlight at the position.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. I don't know about always. Last night was there. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, Friends for Health in Haiti. I think I might bet him, Brian. I don't know if I would do five. I think Melton will play a down as a defensive back this year for the Packers.
I mean, I'm going to tell you this much. If that's the way the depth stays, he very well may.
Well, no, but I mean, it's going to be just somebody's hurt. To me, it's going to be like a fluky situation. I'm not as worried as you are about this is reflective of anything, because I think it's just something they had to talk about. And you've admitted and talked about these things. These are so unlike practices. No one knows what to call them, right? I'll let you tell us what we should call them next. We will get to how unpracticed-like the practices are. But Brian Bulaga, the doctor of football, also the doctor of Surfside, take it away.
That's right. I am here for my friends at Surfside, and summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than a nice cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Surfside is so good, it is what I prefer, or what I want to call the drink of the summer. It is not that sweet, nasty drink that you see on the shelves, all these other ones. There's a bunch of ones, but look for Surfside. Believe me, there's so many great flavors, like my favorite, the half tea, half lemonade. There's peach tea, raspberry lemonade, so many more. Believe me, you'll find one that you like. They're all good. Trust me. It's made with real brewed tea and real vodka. Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right. No carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes sold at bars and restaurants and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
He can talk about Surfside. I can talk about Fisco Auto Body. You'll have an auto body place forever. Your kids will have one forever because they're that good, and eventually you'll thank me. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. It's a family business owned since 1931. So it's not what they do, it's who they are. And a family business still owned by the family. So imagine what generation they're at and how early they started working on cars so that by the time they work on yours, they're really good. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Those who listen to me go there and then at some point they think, wow, guess we should thank Homer because these people are really good. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. So you'll remember the name. This is the difficult part for Brian Bulaga because I don't know how he can state for sure that the so-called practices, minicamp or whatever they have, they might as well just hold them in a classroom. Is that going too far? Or as someone who went through what the procedure used to be and things that you would attend in the off season for the Packers, is it harsh to say it's a joke?
It sounds like it's a lot different. It's a lot different than what it used to be. And I don't, the only thing I can think they're getting out of this is that they're seeing like jog through reps with bodies in front of them, right? Like they're going through offensive plays with bodies in front of them and they're seeing movement in front of them and they're able to go through their offensive plays and identifications with the defense in front of them. Like that's all I can really think with that tempo. And like there is positives to that, right? Like there is good things you can get out of that.
I don't know, whatever you say. I judge by what the coaches do. The coaches' actions tell me if they think it's a joke based on what they're doing, not doing, right?
This is so much different than what it was when, especially when I first got into the league. I mean, OTAs and mini camp were like full go. It felt like it was like so physical, like so high tempo and high speed and super serious. And like, I was like, when I was going through it as a rookie, I'm like, if this is like just OTAs and mini camp, I'm like, what's training camp like? I'm like, if this is just this, what's camp going to be like? And obviously that was still 2-a-days and everything like that. 2-a-days was tough. So like, it seems like they've tapered this thing back quite a bit,
Do you believe that you were any better as a player as a result of how tough the OTAs or mini camps were? Or would you say now that they do it differently, I'm sure the players are just as ready as I was. What's the truth?
I think there was some benefit to what we did. I think the fact that there was, I mean, you weren't supposed to have contact, but there was contact. It kind of kicked some rust off really quick in the off season. Like you got to figure out your technique and things like that at a faster rate than what you would kind of what they're doing right now. Like I think Jason said the only time they would go a little more like normal speed would be the 2-minute drill. We were going at that speed, probably even a little bit more the entire time. Like, and then that was every period throughout all OTAs and minicamp. And I mean, I think there was benefit to that. Obviously guys would not like that all the time, right? Like it was like, okay, like we're doing this constantly. Like, can we take a couple periods where it's more jog through? Like, you know, it's, can you find that happy medium?
Those would have been the veterans that were saying that.
Yes, for sure. And now it seems like they've gone to the complete opposite side of the spectrum here. And now they're not doing, it sounds like, much of anything.
So do the coaches have less knowledge about the ability of some of the players? And then again, maybe if they do, it really doesn't matter. I would assume the new players, there's no way the coaches could have anywhere near the same idea of the quality, probable, whatever, the quality of the young players now as much as they did then, correct?
Oh, correct. Absolutely. Like, you don't find out as much about them as you did when I was a young player. I mean, you got to find out about young players really quick. Like, you found out about them immediately because they were going against vets, and it was full, like, again, I hate to say full go because, like, that's when you have pads on, but, like, it was about as full go as you could get with helmets and shells. I mean, I remember it was, like, shells, like, little, like, pad things that you would put on. Like, I mean, they didn't do anything. So you can tell the way the young guys were going to be able to handle themselves and do all the drills and go through team periods and how they were going to hold up against veteran players and how they were going to absorb knowledge and be able to react against things in, you know, really in real time. Because, like, obviously guys don't have pads on. So these defensive players are moving way quicker than they even do with pads on. And it's really fast tempo. So, yeah, they knew a lot more.
Well, I'm going to ask you what you knew about other players on the team, the veterans, even after OTAs and minicamp. The close next.
1, 2, you'll know what to do.
I think I have, but I'll tell you again. American Place Casino, a half hour south of Franklin. American Place Casino, a half hour south of Franklin. Did I tell you it was a half hour? And 38 minutes, actually, from maybe one spot in Franklin. American Place Casino, located in Lake County, Illinois. Great table games, great slot machines, got a sports book. And you got to go AmericanPlace.com. AmericanPlace.com, almost as important as 30 minutes south of Franklin, because you can find out about their great Father's Day event. You can find out about Happy Bourbon Day on Saturday. If you go to American Place Casino, however long it takes you, and you don't take advantage of all the deals they have going, that's on you. Not one, it should be more than one. AmericanPlace.com. And one more time, American Place Casino, a half hour south of Franklin. Now we're going to find out just how little the practice of me now, based on how much Brian Bulaga learned when he was doing OTAs, mini camps, about other players on his team. How much did you know, and how quickly did you know it, about players who became your teammates for many years when you were a rookie?
Well, I mean, I found out really quick how good Clay was, like, the first, like, three snaps. Like
of the first OTA.
Oh, yeah, like the first OTA. Like, I think he wanted to get, like, make the point, like, make it, like, his point to, like, make my life a living hell for, like, the first, like, OTA.
All right, so he was nuts, but I bet there were others you learned about, maybe not to the same degree. That would tell me everybody's playing hard to some level.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, no, I learned about, like, I mean, I learned how good BJ was. I learned how good Cullen Jenkins was. I learned a lot about AJ Hawk. I learned a lot about Ryan Pickett. Like, you learn a lot about, like, you know, Brady Papinga. Like, you just learn about all these different players, and kind of it gives you a little insight to training camp about what you can expect, who the thumpers are, like Desmond Bishop, like all, like what these guys are going to be like when they put pads on. And like,
and it's almost impossible, based on what you've heard, for current players to have any such comments based on what they're doing now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you'd get a feel for that. Right. Like, I don't know how they would do that. Now, there may be some places around the league that kind of don't do it like the way it sounds like Green Bay is doing it, right? They may do it old school the way it used to be, but it sounds like there's reps almost at every team that are looking at this and watching it pretty closely to make sure it doesn't.
All right, we're almost out of time. Have you watched any of the U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a golf course. I don't know what that is. What are they playing? That's a different game.
That is ridiculous.
Yes.
That is ridiculous.
Now, we'll talk about it more next week. Like, to me, it goes from fairways to green, and they look the same. And then on the sides, you have rough that's the middle of the Amazon. Anyway, so we'll see.
If you call that rough,
golf cart in that stuff. Quote me on that. The Analysis, 2 hours. Peter Fagan, Christian Yelich. Even if you don't like golf, even if you don't know anything about golf, just give the U.S. Open a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumor that a player was lost in the rough today. They're looking for him. Next.